against the government's decision to house illegal migrants in hotels up and down the country.
These people should have a right to their homeland, while we in turn get to keep ours.
Did they ask you?
No!
Do you want it?
No!
So what are you going to do? Are you going to keep coming back?
Yeah!
You're going to keep letting them know?
Yeah!
You're going to keep telling them we don't want it? Cannock says no!
We have to say no more. Show up to as many demos as you can. Send as many letters as you can. Don't get yourself caught up in their game, their trap.
Guys, if you're listening over there, an Albanian double murderer faces being deported for the second time!
Continue as they are, by 2066, white British people will be a minority in Britain as a whole. Do you want to be a minority?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to tonight's stream. I hope you enjoyed that high-energy intro from our biggest demonstration to date, the demonstration down in Cannock. It was an amazing day, around 500 people present, PA activists from all over the country, hundreds of locals, and an amazing reception for PA activists as they walked into that busy town centre. The cheer went up. It was one of the highlights of this year, and I'm not sure how we're going to top that. I hope we do, but it's a great, great start to the year. Now, tonight, we're live on Odyssey, we're live on DLive, and we're live on RadioAlbion.com. And if you want to contribute to this show, you can. You can contribute to our work, and you can do so via Entropy or via Odyssey. You can send super chats. Any donation sent tonight will have the comment attached to it read out live on the show. You can also ask non-paid questions. We will answer all non-paid questions this evening too, because we're here for a couple of hours. And finally, if you want to send donations via cryptocurrency, you can do so. All the links to the cryptos are in the description below. And you can write to me if you want at mark@thefallofwesternman.com. I am very accessible, very easy to contact, and I'm always here if you need me. Now, to introduce our wonderful deputy leader, it is, of course, the lovely Laura Towler. How are you doing, and how did that video make you feel?
Oh, it's an amazing video. Yeah, well, first of all, I just need to say I've not got a microphone because Sam has decided to go out and he's moved the microphone and I don't know where he's put it and he's not answering the phone. So if my audio sounds terrible, blame Sam. But it was just a shock, I think, because we get told all the time that we're like the bad guys, and for PA to walk onto that square with our flags held high and our banners, and for the crowd to just ruptured with massive applause. It was like, I didn't quite expect it, but it was just absolutely amazing. And to see the meltdown on Twitter afterwards when everyone was like, they applauded for them. It was just brilliant. But yeah, Cannock was just absolutely incredible. I can't believe it was this month. It feels like it was ages ago.
It does feel a long time ago. And I've got to say, they always say a week is a long time in politics. And oh my gosh, what's happened this month is unbelievable. And it seems just like every time we do something, we just raise the bar in a different way. So we came off the back of that amazing demo in Hull with around 200 people there. Then we went to Skegness with 400 people. Then we hit Cannock with 500. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Oh my God, absolutely brilliant. And I've got to say, thank you so much to all the activists who turned up, all the organizers who took part organizing. It's just amazing the professionalism and our ability on such a tiny budget to do so much is unbelievable. To think that this tiny organization with this small number of dedicated activists that is all funded via grassroots donations can punch so far above its weight and create national headlines with events like that. Absolutely brilliant. You know, I'm so proud of everyone involved. And I say this all the time, but thank you so much to everyone who traveled to these events. I'm absolutely humbled to be able to represent people doing this because we're making so much headway. And to think we're only a few years old and we're already punching harder than any other nationalist group in the country. It's just insane to see what we've managed to achieve in such an incredibly short period of time. And I've got to say, Cannock, for me, is not just a high point for PA, but it's one of the high points of my entire, you know, lifetime in nationalism. That kind of reception, probably better than anything I've seen before that any other groups achieved. I never saw the BNP sort of get a standing ovation and cheers from an entire town centre. Just wonderful. I mean, you were there, Laura, when we came around the corner with those placards and banners. How did it feel for you seeing it and hearing the cheers?
Yeah, me and Sam had got there early, so we were stood up on the bandstand. And we heard the crowd cheer before we saw that it was you guys coming out. And then you were at the front with your placard and they were like, I don't know, maybe 40 PA people there or something. And they all came forward and the crowd just went absolutely mad. I'm so glad that we filmed it and we captured it because it's one of those films where, one of those things where if we said it, people would be like, that didn't happen, but it did. And it was amazing. I mean,
What you mean? You mean all those, that tiny handful of freaks who keep saying PA doesn't have any support. The public yeah. don't want them. Local people don't like them. And then you see us walk into a town centre and hundreds of local people cheer for us and welcome us. The people who sit, you know, in little chat groups, bitterly telling their tiny little audience of other bitter friends that no one likes PA are so off the mark. Because whether it's Hull, whether it's Leeds, whether it's Skegness, whether it's Cannock, the reception we've received over the last couple of months has just been, well, it's been uplifting, it's been heartwarming, it's been humbling. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Erskine as well is another big one. We're going to talk about that briefly later. But Erskine, our guys have been there every Sunday and we're just outnumbering the counter-protest massively. We've got a funny video to show you, actually, where only one person turned up for the counter-protest. And obviously in Wales as well that we had last weekend. Now, let's be honest, we were outnumbered at Wales. We were outnumbered massively. But that counter-protest, it wasn't people from Lantwit. It was people busting from Bristol. It was the unions. They were selling tickets on Eventbrite for £7. And the national media, including the BBC, were advertising their counter-protest for them for 3 weeks in advance. And we're going to get into that protest as well. But there were so many benefits to that protest. I mean, we highlighted the left as being mental because they were either dressed up as Welsh cakes or they were being aggressive and violent. And we highlighted that. And also we got national publicity for Patriotic Alternative. Again, the BBC talking about us constantly. The BBC, obviously the biggest news outlet in the country, they usually don't talk about us, but because of Lantwit they were. I think they published 2 or 3 articles about us. So yeah, it's just we're going from strength to strength at the moment, and I'm excited to dig into some of these protests a little bit more.
Well, before you do, I just want to say this. We got an amazing message through to the website the other day. The amount of signups on the website has gone through the roof. And one guy wrote to us and he said, I'd never heard of PA or Mark before, but I am so happy I read the BBC website on the day after that protest because I saw Mark, I saw PA, and I was blown away. And I'm sure many others did too. And that's why I'm with you now. And to read comments like that coming into the website, oh, it's absolutely fantastic. I am so hyped to see what we've done and thinking about what we're going to do next. And we've got a packed show. But the first guest we've got on the show tonight is our young up-and-comer. He's been one of the rising stars in the nationalist scene, and he's already knocked it out the park this year with his viral speeches. And he, basically, you know who he's going to be. He confronted MP Andrew Sellers at a migration meeting. It's Wesley Russell, but he's been at all of our recent demos. He spoke at them all. He travels around the country. This guy, he puts in so much effort. How are you doing, Wes? And what do you think to this month's activity?
I'm doing very well, thank you, and thanks for having me on, guys. This month has been crazy, and like Laura said earlier, it's crazy how Cannock feels like it's ages ago. Honestly, this year is just flying by for me, yet we've got so much done. It's not even April yet, and just think about how many protests and other activities we've got under our belt. So we're just doing amazing this year. Obviously, I was at Cannock this month, and also in Wales over the weekend, and I'm sure you'll want to ask questions about that, won't you, Mark?
I certainly will, and we've got Joe Marsh coming on a little bit later, just after 7:30, to discuss what happened in Wales. But Wales was a strange one, and obviously we were outnumbered there, because I've not seen a left-wing mobilisation like that for probably a decade or more. It was just unbelievable. But let's start off with Cannock. I mean, you were there at Skegness, Wes, and you gave a great speech there, and then you arrived at Cannock. Did you think we would best Skegness so quickly?
Do you know, it's funny. I made a joke in private to Laura just after Skegness in anticipation of Cannock, and I made the joke that every single PA monthly update is going to be us saying, our biggest protest yet. So you were saying about Cannock, was even better, even bigger than Skegness, which it was. And but it's not going to be our biggest. We're going to have so much. We're going to have bigger ones. You know, we're just going to keep getting bigger and better, and our professionalism is going to go up, and you know, our media coverage and all of this stuff. So we're just on the up. So obviously I'm not from Cannock, so I didn't know the area, but I'm always optimistic that you know, there are locals there which we are turning up to represent. And that was absolutely the case. You know, the people were very receptive. They obviously cheered. We weren't expecting that. You never know how these things are going to turn out. So it was fantastic to see that it was even bigger and better than Skegness. But I'm sure the best is still yet to come. We're not even in April yet.
One thing I will say is, when you said biggest demo yet, well, I was actually making the graphic for tonight's show this morning, and I had biggest demo yet all sort of laid out. And I thought, what did I call last month's? And I called last month's biggest demo yet. And I thought, I can't have the same graphic 2 months in a row. So
just
I had to copy paste
every month.
Yeah, it just gets really, really good. But Wes, you've received a massive amount of publicity this year already, and you've been at these demos. How would you say the feeling is at those demos? Because for me, it's electric.
Yeah, it really is. It's really crazy, because we're dissidents, and obviously our message is suppressed. We're always being told we're unpopular, we're horrible, everybody has nothing but disdain for us. So even though we know we've got truth on our side, and we've got the right ideas and morality on our side, It is still kind of surreal when it's like you actually go out there and like, no, people do want to hear our message. People are receptive. People do agree. So it just kind of, it's a nice feeling, isn't it, when you know that you're vindicated, but also that you are speaking out for the silent majority. So yeah, it's always surreal. And obviously I'm a young lad, so I wasn't around during, say, the BNP days or even prior. But you're absolutely right that there wasn't these kinds of demonstrations only a decade or so ago. And I think people are more hungry than ever for nationalism. Hence, we're getting such a warm welcome. So it's absolutely fantastic. It's electric. And it, you know, it really makes you feel good, doesn't it?
It was interesting in Cannock because Parik O'Brien, the journalist, tried to do a hit piece on Patriotic Alternative afterwards, and his angle was that the public didn't really understand what we stood for, and that we were manipulating them by co-opting their issue. I mean, how exactly nationalists can co-opt nationalism, I do not know, but that was his angle. And Sam debunked it with one line. Parik said, they don't know what you really stand for. And Sam said, we've been stood up there for an hour telling them what we stand for, and they've been agreeing with us. And there was a very important part in Mark's speech where he said, do you want to be a minority in your own country? And the crowd just shouted, no. And Parik was going, they don't agree with the great replacement theory. And Sam was like, we just asked them and they agreed with us. What would you say, Wes, regarding the issues that are important to Patriotic Alternative and the British public, do you think we go too far, or do you think all of our views are popular with the British public?
I think our strategy going forward is we need to be ever increasingly more hardline. That's how the left have been able to absolutely wreck our countries in the Western world, is because they never let up. They always keep pushing the boundary. And in my opinion, we need to do exactly the same. Rather than being soft and letting them take more and more, and then we're always presenting ourselves as moderate, that strategy has never worked for nationalism or traditionalism at all. It's never worked. So I think our message is spot on. We are not limp-wristed. We do not beat around the bush. We are frank, straightforward and honest. And that's what people want. They want the honesty. That is why PA is doing so well at the moment in regards to nationalism previously, because even only a decade or two ago, we had, you know, nationalist parties. Oh, of course. But as a young person, just looking back, you know, just watching the clips and just getting a general feeling, it still feels like people are still embarrassed. Whereas it's different now. Now people are unashamed to stick up for our people, to be a nationalist, to be an ethno-nationalist, to stick up for native indigenous rights, and, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's completely different now. Which is fantastic. And that's, you know, why people are so eager to cheer us on, because we're honest with them. It's not like people are coming to these demos and they feel a bit seedy because they're coming to some shadowy event, which is like, oh, yeah, but are they racist? And it's like, they just don't even care, right? We are upfront and honest. That's what they want. And we give it to them. We do the speeches. We say exactly what we believe in, and they are receptive. So yeah, that's all I've got to say.
Well, the local guy, Paul, his speech is up on Odyssey, if you've not seen it. In his speech, he got up and he didn't pussyfoot about. He wasn't like, I'm not racist because X, Y, Z. He got up and he went, if you want to call me racist, you can call me racist. I'm going to defend my people and their safety. He did not care. And that's what we want. We want people who can't be controlled by these words. And that was just a member of the public. That wasn't an activist with PA, somebody who called themselves a nationalist or anything like that. It was like, that word has no power with me. And I just thought that was amazing.
You have TPUK, I'll just quickly slip this in here. Just the other day, they put out a graphic because now we've got Hamza Yousaf as the First Minister of Scotland. And their fantastic approach to try and push back against, you know, anti-whitism from the left is to say, ah, well, you can't say Britain's racist now. All of these major offices in the UK are populated by ethnic minorities. It's like, no, that's not how you push back against anti-whitism. You push back against anti-whitism by putting your own people first unashamedly, right? That's how you do it. It's as simple as that.
I agree. And I've got to say this. A lot of people have stated, well, when I say a lot of people, a handful of people in the media and those in the left who like to regurgitate everything the media says. So, oh, you know, these fascists, they turn up in places like Cannock and they hide their true agenda. Absolutely not. Everywhere we turn up, I ask the crowd, do you want to be an ethnic minority? And every time the crowd says no, every single time. I have never hid the fact that we want a, you know, overwhelmingly white British Britain, and the crowd every time have overwhelmingly, well, completely 100% embraced that. And you saw that in Hull, you saw it in Leeds, you saw it in Skegness, you saw it in Cannock. The time for cucking is over. Now is the time to take our message to the people. Well, look, Wes, have you got anything more to add? Because we've got Cy waiting in the wings. We're going to talk a bit about Erskine. Then we're going to talk about the Welsh demo with Joe Marsh. We've got so much to go through tonight, but it's always a pleasure seeing you. And if you want to have one final say before we bring on the next guest.
All I'll say is I am extremely optimistic. We're already doing fantastic this year so far. You're gonna have to keep making graphics, Mark, which say our biggest demo ever, because that's how it's gonna be. Our demos are gonna get better. We're gonna keep up the pressure. We're even going you know, back to some of these places in due course. So I'm really optimistic. PA's doing fantastic. So, yeah, I'm just optimistic. And you should be too.
Thank you so much, my friend. It's been great seeing you again. There is Wesley Russell, one of the rising stars of Patriotic Alternative and a future leader of this movement. Thank you, Wesley, for all you do. And thank you for those amazing speeches at recent events. Now, a lot has been said already about our biggest ever events, our biggest ever protests, our biggest ever demonstrations. But we're bringing on a man now who's not going to talk about the biggest ever. He's going to talk about something that was so small and so depressing, it will bring a smile to your face. Hello, Si.
I thought you were going to get personal for a minute there.
My friend.
Oh, you wouldn't happen to be talking about the opposition at Erskine, would you?
Shall we play the video? Well, as you know, we'll just give the people the crib notes before we do. As you know, PA Scotland have been absolutely tireless in working with the local community in Erskine to fight back against the housing of these illegal migrants in a local hotel. Now, the left have been saying every time we're there, they're going to counter protest. But whereas our protests have been getting bigger, more vibrant, more members of the community turning up to speak to us and reach out to us, the left's protests seem to have gone in the opposite direction. So let's see, as our protests get bigger, let's see the smallest protest in Scottish history. Here goes. Let me just pull up the video file.
Hard to be sure.
Well, there you have it, the smallest protest in Scotland. How do you feel, Si? You
poor
have
guy.
Overcome.
The poor man. I tell you what, I'll give him his due. He pulled up in his car, got out and stood. You can see him walking across. I thought, this guy's not going to stand there himself, is he? So credit to him for actually getting out of the car. But I don't think he expected to get blasted like that. No, we've essentially totally neutralised the counter-protest now. It's safe to say Erskine's not the biggest protest, but we are heading into the 7th or 8th. Now, I've lost count how many we've had. I think it's the 7th or 8th we've got coming up on Sunday. And we have essentially set our stall out nicely. We've got to the point where we've put gazebos up. We are completely and utterly put the screens for the gazebos up facing this mob off. We put the very nice, very expensive Bose speaker that we have facing them. So essentially for us, it's background, just a sort of bit of background music, but they're absolutely getting blasted with it. And we speak to them when we choose to speak to them, and they have absolutely no effect on us whatsoever. So it's been pretty good. They just don't know what to do. And they literally just stand there and sort of go, you can see them go, well, what do we do now? We can't, there's no point shouting at them. They're just not listening to us. It's been fantastic. We've had a right good laugh with some of these people. Even on Sunday there, we've got such a rapport with the locals now that a birthday cake was brought down for one of the older gentlemen who was 66 on Sunday. Somebody bought him a bit of birthday cake. So we had birthday cake at a demo. I don't think that's probably not been done before at a nationalist demonstration. But no, it goes from strength to strength. And the main thing is, I have had a couple of, there are a few naysayers, and is it really getting anywhere? But at the end of the day, the hotel could have has 190 rooms or something like that. Could have 190 guys in it. They could double up. It could have 360 guys in it if you put two guys in a room. From what I've heard, we're talking that there's between 30 and 50 people in there, some of which are families. So in that respect, just PA's presence there is consistent presence. And that little bit of consistent pressure has stopped them filling this place to the capacity. And I also imagine that the Mears Group, who run the hotel, who actually hired the hotel to house these illegal immigrants, have probably tuned these lads that are in this hotel right in to behave themselves when they're out on the streets. So in that respect, it's working, and we'll keep going back. I mean, I can, you know, right now we can keep going every Sunday. There is anywhere between 4 and 8 PA activists turn up, that's it, and everybody else is a local. So we had the stand up to racism saying that they were outnumbering. That's what they do. I mean, their demonstrators were outnumbering PA guys about 8 to 1. The only problem is all the locals that turn up on our side certainly outnumbered their one local that they had. It's going well, and we'll keep plodding along with that one. And consistency seems to be winning the day. It'll be a slow burn there, but we'll keep at it.
And just like at Wales, your counter protesters are busting left wing activists, aren't they? You've done quite a lot of research on them.
Oh yeah, we did do a bit of research on them, and I said on the very, very first demo, the one Sam was at, there was a lady speaker, particularly rowdy Australian woman, who thought she was Australian. She turns out she's actually Turkish, but went to school in Australia. Her parents moved to Australia, hence the Australian accent. She stood there with a high-vis vest on. And I said at the time, her wearing a high-vis vest will be that will make her feel more working class. Turns out this woman's a playwright. I mean, you couldn't get less working class than being a playwright, could you?
Well, look, Si, it's been good having you on tonight, and we've got some more protests to discuss, and we've got the next guest already lined up. So, look, mate, keep up the fantastic work, keep up the pressure, and we hope to see a lot more from PA Scotland this year. Guys. Thank you so much, my friend.
No worries. Cheers.
Keep it up. Thank you. Well, our next guest is here to talk about our most recent protest, which was the massive success we had in Llanwit in Wales. You can probably guess who it's going to be. It's the man, the myth, the legend. It is Joe Marsh. How you doing, Joe?
Hey. How's it going? It's Llanwit. Not the way you said it.
What did I say?
I don't know, Llanwit or something. It's Llanwit. Really, it's Llanwit because it's got two L's in front of it, but I'll let you off anyway.
I'm not a Welshie, so I struggle with these words. I hope you can forgive me.
Yeah. So, do you want me to tell you what happened with the demo and that, is it?
Do you want us to play the video first, or do you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
And then we play the video. I'll play the video first.
Play the video, yeah.
And then we can see. So this is the video from last Saturday in Llanwit in Wales. Here we go.
Today we're in Llanwit Major protesting against the development in this town of only 10,000 people in Wales. A migrant camp for up to 400 people to stay in, so that's 90 housing units. There are no services in this local town. It will put incredible strain and pressure on this town. The town were promised a medical centre by Vale of Morgan Council. And suddenly this plan was made in secret last September, and it was only leaked from the council, and then the council were forced to explain the plan in January of this year. Now, locals are very, very annoyed about this. They were not consulted. They have not been given time. Work has already started. They've started demolishing trees on the site, and it's going to cause real pain, real for these locals. And they've already been abandoned, and this site will cost millions, and it will be there for years, potentially a decade or more. So the council say they are going to get the medical centre at some point. I doubt it, because this project is going to cost the council millions. There are going to be no hurry at all to get rid of it.
But I would like to speak about the plans in Llanwit, if I can. So all around the country, the Conservative government have decided that everyone in this country's needs are secondary to people of foreign extraction who crossed the channel illegally. Illegally. 40,000 people last year, and as the record goes, they're set to break that record this year from the first 3 months. £5.5 million per day. And I'll tell you, £5.5 million per day will build 1,000 medical centres. So just what the town like Llantwit needs.
Why aren't you here protesting with us about this outrageous denial of public services for the locals? And you, and to any locals out there who are listening, you have got to put yourselves, because you can't trust anyone else, you've got to put yourselves up as independent for local elections.
But yes, I'd like to thank everyone for coming today and having a lovely time. So hopefully some of you Bristol folk can go down and see the beach later, because the beach is lovely, honestly. And if it's come all this way and not to go to Llantwit Major Beach, it would be a great shame. So yes, if you are from Bristol, it's just about a mile down for the road over the hill. So yes, have a nice day, everyone. Ta-da.
Another fantastic day of activism, and that was our regional organiser there, Jerome, giving an excellent speech and an explanation to why we were there. Joe, did you enjoy the day, and what do you think was the highlight?
Oh, well, the highlight was probably the walk back up to the train station with a load of Antifa screaming and abusing us. About a week before, I was saying, you know, we're going to be heavily outnumbered here, but I didn't realise how bad it was going to be, like, you know. But the thing is, a week before, they'd had a big anti-racism march in Cardiff, and they'd handed out leaflets advertising this, so they really rallied their troops, like, you know. But we had locals with us, and the one guy, he lived not far from the park, and he said he couldn't see more than 5 or 6 people in that crowd that lived there. You know, that it was literally a mob of trade unionists, socialist workers, people from the universities, and a load of Antifa from Bristol. Like, you know, but do you know what? They didn't stop us. We had a really good day. It was great. It was. And like, if anything, they made it more fun because we just stood there and just laughed at them, you know? And Jerome did really well, like, you know, because that was his first time he's ever spoken in public. And that's the first demo that he's been to that's been opposed. And it was rough, like, you know. And like, I was saying last night to Sayana, like, to me, that was mild, having all Antifa around me. Like, it was nothing to me because I've seen it a million times before. But to him, to stand there, like, under that kind of pressure, he did really well, like, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jerome just, I mean, he's quite new to the role and he just absolutely shone. His speech is up on Odyssey now. So if you've not watched it, please go and watch Jerome's speech, because me and Sam were laughing our heads off when we first watched it, because he's just toying with Antifa and throwing all these insults out at him. And he hasn't got any notes. It's just off the cuff and it's really, really good, really funny, really intelligent as well, because he talks about a lot of issues and just really cheeky, and it's just a really good speech. And I have to also give a shout out to Connor and Big Dom, who took on, I said 20 and I got told off for saying it was only 20. Apparently it was over 25 Antifa in the car park. They were approached by over 25 Antifa and they saw them off by themselves, just two of them. So yeah, a lot of heroes emerged on that day.
Oh yeah, it was pretty epic. Like, you know, the thing is like, first of all, there was about 15 of them there shouting and screaming. And then, like, another couple came, then another couple, then another couple, then 50, then another 50, then, like, 100 came trooping through the lane. And it was just mental. It was just like a dream, it was. It was just like, what the hell? And there's just more and more and more of them were coming, like, you know? They must have been getting off buses. There was that many of them, you know? And but, like, we stood our ground there and, like, they've even had the cheek, Antifa, where people have said, we stood our ground, they've said, ha-ha, admitting that you stood your ground, standing your ground means you wanted violence. That's what they've been saying. Like, they were the ones in balaclavas and all, like, you know, black blocked up and scuffling with the police and rolling around on the floor with police all around.
Yeah, exactly. Have you seen that video of them linking arms or walking off, like, away from you lot? They're doing that thing where they're like, hold me back, hold me back. Show us just looking normal and talking, and then show them. I know who the public are going to side with, and it's the people who look normal.
Well, there's, like, on Twitter, I mean, there's people there saying, ha, they turned up, they all came from Leeds for some reason. We all came from Leeds, right? That's because your PO box is in Leeds, I think. And they said that we all came from Leeds. We've never been to Llantwit before, and we'll never go back there again. And we all had our faces covered because we're cowards. There was only like two people there with scarves on. The rest of us all showing our faces. It was their crowd.
Yeah.
There was like 80% of their crowd had their faces covered.
Well, the fact that they have to lie tells us that we're doing well. I also saw some guy on Twitter say that we were chased away or something. And it was like, no, we weren't. The demonstration finished and we went home, because that's what you do when demonstrations finish. But the fact that they're having to lie about it tells us that they don't really have anything.
Yeah, they've got nothing. The thing is what's happened is Skegness, Cannock and the other demos have been so big, right? And we've had hundreds of people from the public coming out with us, and they don't like it. And they really don't want people to hear our message, because they know that people will buy our message, you know? So they're there screaming and shouting like chimps trying to shut us up. And, like, you know, they've got themselves organized now because they're so furious. And, like, I spoke to about 20 different locals there. They came up. Every single one of them said to us, we know it won't be Ukrainians. This is a thing, see, like a lot of them, they were spreading this rumor that we were against the Ukrainians. Our argument is they're not going to be Ukrainians. We've got 13 hotels in Cardiff. Only one of them has ever had any Ukrainians in it. Most of the Ukrainians are with families and hosts and that, right? It's the people that they need to house, which is what this development is, they're going to be the boat people, you know? And they're thinking they're going to get all these little blonde families running around the place. They're going to have the shock of their lives, you know? But I think we would have had a lot more locals with us if it wasn't for that hostile mob. Because it was like, remember Leeds, the drag queen story hour? That crazy mob across the road, right? And they look like, it's like Fraggle Rock, isn't it, you know? And it was like that, only probably four times the size, you know? And they were all around us. So there was like an elderly couple, they came up and they stood with us for a little bit, and they didn't flinch either. And they were saying, oh, no, we got to take a stand because they're not going to be from Ukraine, you know? And it was just all, like, all day long, odd people were coming over and saying, good work, well done for turning up, you know? And I think if it wasn't for them, we'd have had a lot more support. But it doesn't matter, because we did it. They didn't stop us. We've made our point. We've cost that council a lot of money now, you know? They'll be having emergency meetings and everything. And we're going to go back as well, because they won't stop us. You know, they're all the lefties are saying, ha-ha, that's the last we'll see of them, you know? Well, I don't think so, because we're going back.
Oh, yeah, we have to go back now. But, I think it's very naive to suggest that it's going to be Ukrainians, and I'd be surprised if any nationalists believe that, especially if the public don't believe it as well. But I just think something that we got on Saturday was PA stood there as a force of light, bold and defiant, while we faced this mob of people, and we didn't even flinch. And we've come a long way from... Do you remember when people used to say, banners in the middle of nowhere? It's like, well, look at us now. We stood outnumbered 10-1, just face out, loud and proud, not even flinching. And I think it's great that we've got evidence of us doing that now as well.
Well, even some of the haters have had to say, amongst the hate that they're jabbering online, that they've still had to say, well, respect to them for standing there in the face of that onslaught, because it was heavy, you know? It's like, you know, and they weren't really trying to attack us, but it appeared like they were. And they were fighting with the police a few times, you know? But like I said, when we walked up to the train station after, it's like a good 15-minute walk, and they were coming from coming out of side streets. They were running around trying to cut us off. And every now and again, you'd see them rolling around on the floor with the police and everything. But like at no time did we think we're in danger here, you know? We just didn't care. It was a joke, like. And a few times I got like separated from the others because the police were busy rolling around on the floor. And we had people, we had a few like old people with us that were like in their 70s. And I was thinking, right, I'll stay by these in case they get attacked. But nobody attacked anybody, you know? It was all just, it was like a pantomime, a puppet show. They were like, yeah, you're lucky the police are here or you'd be dead and all this sort of thing. It was just a joke, honestly. For the numbers they had, like one of the guys in the park said, I think they're just going to charge us. And you know, I just said, no, they won't. They won't do nothing. And they didn't. If they had charged us, initially, see, the police didn't have many there. You could see that they were frantically calling for reinforcements. And when we rolled up our banners and they all started doing that chimp out thing, ah, like that, you know, like as if they'd driven us away. We'd been there much longer than we initially planned to be anyway. And a cop said to us, can you just stay for 10 minutes? Because we've got reinforcements on the way. Because they, you know, they were taken by surprise. But when you think about Llanswit, where it is, Swansea's one side, Cardiff's the other. You know, only half an hour each side, you've got massive university cities, you know, as well as the bust in like Bristol or that. So it's hardly surprising that they got those numbers there, but they still couldn't stop us. You know, that's the best part about it. They were absolutely furious that we had the audacity to turn up and do that, you know. So, yeah, all good. And like I say, Jerome has shone there. Really, like, he's gone right up in my estimation. And, you know, because, and like you said, it was all off the cuff as well, wasn't it? He didn't even have a script. He was just there, you know? And yeah, Wesley,
sounds fantastic.
Wesley did a good speech as well, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to get Wesley's video up tomorrow. But could somebody, I don't know if Reed Johnson's in the chat, could you post a link to Jerome's speech in the chat so that people can go and watch it? Because it is just so fun. It's brilliant.
Well, look, Joe, thank you for joining us tonight. We've got loads more things to discuss. We've got other guests coming on, but thank you for being with us. If you want to say a last couple of words, and then we'll move on to the next topic.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, thanks for having me. Like, and keep up the good work, guys.
Well, thank you so much. I'll speak to you again soon, my friend.
Yeah, see you soon.
Cheers. Right, we do have a lot more to cover tonight, but it's great to see that things are happening in England, Scotland, and Wales. That's all three countries of the mainland covered with fantastic demonstrations, fantastic activity. Now, a couple of things to say about Jerome. We noticed that the left were crowing that they doxed Jerome and sort of claiming some kind of win. It doesn't count as a dox if the guy's face out using his own name, giving speeches at demonstrations. That's not a dox. That's just, you know, his name because he gave it to you. Doxing somebody is when they don't want to, you know, I'm surprised I have to explain this to people, but doxing is when somebody doesn't want their name released and is sheepish about coming forward and is hidden at the back. We are not going to accept, you know, no one can claim a win when the guy is face out using his own name, making public speeches. But that's how desperate the left
literally stood there with a megaphone in front of the national media, like 300 Antifa. What did they say? We have unmasked him. You idiots. I think they do it so that they appear to know secret things to their like potential funders or colleagues or supporters, so that their supporters are like, ooh, they must have, you know, inside information. I'll give them a donation. But in reality, you're just doxing people who are already public.
Indeed. Now, we do have an important announcement now before we move on to the last couple of things. And I'm going to let Laura make this important announcement because I get to make all the important announcements usually. And this is basically big news. So we've left it to a little bit later in the show, but it's a major organizational announcement about something that's going to be available to people in the next couple of months. And it's going to transform the way we as an organization operate. So Laura, let the people know what is coming.
I didn't, Sorry. I didn't think we were announcing it yet. I thought we were keeping it secret for a bit longer.
Apparently we are ready to say it's coming. It's in the works and it's imminently coming.
Oh, so you do it then, because I don't want to say too much.
Well, basically, people have been asking, will we move to a membership system? And we are now able to reveal that we've been working very hard. And within the next few months, we are going to be moving to a membership system. So people will be able to formally join PA as an organization. And once they have joined PA, they will be able to have a say in how it is run. This is going to overhaul what we've been doing. It's going to allow people to be more involved with the organization. And I've been working very hard with the Patriarch behind the scene to design a new membership card and to design a new graphic that we are going to be heavily using going forward. And it's going to be something that will be used on more of our publicity material. We have several other big announcements coming this year about the way we're overhauling the organization, the way we're growing. And hopefully this will give us a more steady stream of income with monthly memberships coming in. And we can eventually move towards employing admin and membership staff full time in order to turn this from a volunteer organization into a professional political party. So I hope everyone's happy about that. I hope you're happy about that, Laura.
Yeah, it's basically like another way that you can support us and another tier of supporter, I guess, if you don't want to be or if you're not able to be an activist. So PA have been going now for 3.5 years. And for the first year that we existed, we just didn't take any donations at all. We paid for everything ourselves out of our own money, and we still achieved quite a lot on a shoestring, really. And the reason we did that was because we wanted to prove ourselves as a serious organisation and not just an organisation that wants money and then isn't going to do anything with the money. After 12 months, we started accepting donations and we just amplified our output. We were able to do a lot of things that we weren't able to do before. We were able to do things like drama, 140,000 leaflets in a single month, you know, these massive stunts that we do because we could then afford to do them. But now going to this new membership option, it will allow you to, if you aren't able to be an activist or if you aren't able to contribute something else like writing articles for the website, you can just become a member of Patriotic Alternative. And the cost will be, I think it's going to be £3 a month, which equals £36 a year. So it's not much at all. You'll get your little membership card, which looks really, really cool. Max spent absolutely hours designing it. And those funds we will be able to use for all of the things that we need. You know, it's really expensive just to hold like our database. We've got 17,500 people on our database now. We have to keep that really secure, so that that data doesn't ever end up anywhere that it shouldn't. That costs us quite a lot of money. We have things like a PO box that we have to pay for. There's loads of hidden expenses that you might not necessarily think that an organization has. But long term, you know, we're thinking big. We don't just want to be how we are now. We want to have one day, hopefully soon, we want to have an admin person that can handle like phone calls, contact form messages, because I'm the deputy leader, but at the moment I handle all that stuff, and doing admin takes a big part of my day away that I could be spending on political stuff and front-facing stuff. So basically we want to kind of build this structure within PA where we're able to give more, we're able to offer more and be more sturdy as an organization. I hope that makes sense. So yeah, hopefully you will become a member of Patriotic Alternative. I'm already a member. I'm number two, Max number one. But yeah, we're really excited about it and we hope that you'll join us.
And I was going to give you a sneak peek of the membership card, but I appear to have mislaid the graphic. It's not gone, obviously, because I spent hours. I've not deleted it.
Oh, that's a shame that you can't show it because it's really
I've just put it in a folder and I can't see where that particular folder has gone. I know I sent it to you. Do people want to see the membership card?
Yeah, we want to see it. People
want to see it. Let's, bloody hell, where have I put the damn thing?
We want to see it. It's amazing.
I can't actually. This is scandalous. I can find our new mascot that's going to feature on the membership card. Would people be happy to see the mascot on the membership card? Because what we are doing, this is going to be something. Let's see if I can do this somehow. Do you know what? I can't even manage to do this. So look, that's a total flop. We will show you the membership card in good time.
It's in the chat now. It's the arrow chat. Mm-hmm.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Right. It's on. Don't worry. Don't worry, guys. A technical...
Professional as always.
Though, you see, what happens is my desktop always gets mussed up with all different files and things. And then eventually I'll be like, right, I need to put these somewhere safe and get them all in the right place. And then somewhere, but bear in mind, this is not the final, obviously, membership card. There might be slight tweaks to this. And I remember why I actually deleted it, because there has been a slight tweak. But this is a work in progress of the membership card. So I hope you like this. Here we go. This is going to be our membership card. And you can see there that our new mascot is going to be this very modern looking but very cute red squirrel. We are adopting that as our symbol, because the logo is great, but having a symbol or a mascot, I think, is very, very important. There are other political groups that have adopted different symbols or mascots, but we've chosen the red squirrel for obvious reasons. And I would also like to thank the next guest, because we've got somebody coming on in a second, who helped with the design of that. And he did a lot of work on that. So I've got to say thank you to him. He's coming on actually to talk about developments within our art community. So the next guest is the Patriarch. How you doing, my friend?
Hey.
Hello, hello. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Hello.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can.
Brilliant.
How are you doing, my friend?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, the card turned out well. Did some good design there, and obviously I helped a little, but more credit
to you. You certainly
to,
did, think, my friend. You certainly off. Did. Yes, Patriarch is the master of coming up with a very, very good idea and doing the basic sketches. But we worked on it together. I'm a bit of a vector art whiz, so I did the sort of the lines and the vectoring. But I've got to thank Patriarch for sketching that out roughly. And when I say roughly, his initial sketches were absolutely beautiful. He provided us with several. He's a very, very talented artist. So thank you for all your hard work, my friend. I was over the moon when you did it, and we're over the moon with it now. So what do you have to announce tonight?
Okay, so obviously we started out the Patriotic Arts Community and it was going really well, was on fire. And we had a bit of a breather, which turned into a longer breather, which turned into a sort of a year's worth of just kind of posting art and no real art contests or competitions, but always things in the pipeline. And now I kind of just decided to take it to the next level. And we've got the website in place, which is acting as a hub for the community. And the next thing that, well, we've got a new spring and summer art contest, and we've got actual prizes to give away this time. There's sponsors such as the Imperium Press, which is a book publishing company. So he's going to be giving away some hardcover books and soft cover books, and some coupons for the winners. I know Grandma Towlers is getting involved as well, and I'll be giving away some free prints and t-shirts for the winners. And so basically the new idea for the community is essentially to create a directory which will archive companies and creators. And the idea is essentially to connect nationalist artists around the world and sort of going outside of the UK, and to ultimately archive creators, companies, and so on. So businesses, charities, various organizations, even if you're a group or content creators, artists, digital artists, writers, poets, videographers. The idea is to archive, and essentially, so the different companies can utilize the creators and vice versa. And so just create this hub and where people can go to help out other nationalists essentially, and then utilize this directory for you know, other categories, such as sort of wholesome archives of non-woke sort of wholesome content, you know, like that people can add to if they want, if they come across certain movies or children's books that are suitable, they can list it and archive it. So essentially just creating one massive archive of wholesome content and connecting nationalists around the world. And so if we need each other, we can just utilize the directory and keep our money in our own pockets, essentially.
I think that's a brilliant idea. And I guess it's, it's expanding on kind of what we already do, but maybe professionalizing it a little bit. I know that if I ever need something at Grandma Towelers, I always come to you guys and say, can you do me some packaging for this? Or can you do this? Or obviously the book, Grandma Towelers Cakes and Bakes, had a cover from Kat Hugger, who's in the patriotic arts community. So we definitely have to keep money within our own communities, because everybody else already does that, and you don't know where your money's going anyway. If you fund one of these big companies, they might be donating to Black Lives Matter or the Royal Lifeboat Association, you know, all these kind of things. So it's exactly important, I think.
Yeah, and the one thing that you can take away from the bringing people together so far in the community, there's just so much talent from music producers, artists, writers. We've got so much talent, and this will be a way for just people to kind of pinpoint and it's just an ultimate nationalist referral hub.
So Patriot, do you have any plans for Sunday night?
Sunday night, I will be stacked with ammo, ready to unleash in PUBG, right?
That's yes. Would you...
I'm glad you finished the sentence like that.
I'm pleased you qualified that last bit. We are just playing a computer game, because you're going to be back with us for the Nationalist A-Team on Sunday night at 7 p.m, aren't you?
I will be, yes.
Brilliant. And look, when you've got all that excellent work up and done, we will make sure that is pushed on the PA website, on the PA main Telegram channels, on our and on our Gabs as well. You've done some amazing work for us. Thank you so much for your help with the squirrel. I've got to ask you, you know, if the nationalist community asked you, what's it like to work on a collaborative art project with Mark? How would you sum that up?
Hot coals. Or eggshells, I don't know. One of the two.
So it's either, you're either walking on hot coals or eggshells. It's one or the other.
Something like that.
But it's the end result. It's always beautiful.
If you do it quickly, you're right. You can get over without pain. But if you take your time and stutter, then you will get burned.
But are you happy with the end result?
No, it's very good. Like I say, you polish it off and take it to that next level. So props to you as well.
I got to say, though, look, I'm a designer and you're an artist. And I was explaining this to everybody when it was in the process of being created, that as a designer, I can make it into that sort of lovely geometric pattern with the right colours and the right lines. But I couldn't have drawn that. And it was your drawing that I worked from, and your drawing was absolutely beautiful. And I've got to say this, I've met some talented people in my life, but I've worked with the Patriarch for a number of years, and he is one of the most talented people I've ever met. I've seen his comic book drawings, I've seen his panel art, I've seen his digital art. He's a really, really talented guy, and he's one of those people that when you know how talented he is, it's a crying shame that this guy isn't in charge of some gigantic comic book studio or, major artwork, you know, as part of, you know, major motion pictures, because he is a really, really talented guy. So thank you for all your work, Patriot, and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday night.
Thanks for the comments and kind words. And, yeah, see you Sunday.
And we look forward to this new project coming into fruition. And as soon as it's ready to be launched, let us know and we'll push it heavily through our website and through our other social media channels. Thanks for your hard work.
Yeah. You're welcome. It will be early April, first week of April for sure.
Thank you. Have a good evening, my friend, and I'll see you on Sunday.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye.
So, we've only got one more thing to talk about before we go into the monthly updates for every region. But we wanted just to talk briefly about Clean and Pure. Now, Clean and Pure is Claire Ellis's soap company run from the Isle of Skye. She was obviously our Southwest regional organiser before she moved up to Scotland. Now, as you'll all know by now, she was attacked by the mainstream media up in Scotland. But her fiancé, Kenny Smith, he gave a wonderful rebuttal to the mainstream media. Now, we were going to play that earlier in the show, but we like to leave you on a high point. So I thought we'd play you out with Kenny dispatching the mainstream media with great skill. So we're going to leave that as a treat till the end. And we just want to say good luck to Claire with her battle against the press in Scotland. And we think that the left and the mainstream media are utter, utter cowards. We're knocking it out of the park. And for them to pick on a small local business, you know, run by a woman as some way to get back at us, that is bitter, it is vile, it is underhand, and it doesn't show us up, it shows them up. And remember, if you want great products, if you want great bath products, soaps, shower gels, bath salts, cleanandpuresoap.co.uk. Laura, do you have anything to add?
Just that it's, you know, obviously a disgusting attack. There's no benefit to that news article. It's not news that the public have to know that, you know, a woman with a soap company has a certain set of political views, which are totally misrepresented, by the way. There's nothing interesting about that story. It was just an attack to try and attack somebody who's associated with Patriotic Alternative. But luckily, you know, when you attack one of our own, we all come to support that person. And I ordered some soap on that day and some dry shampoo bar as well. And I think a lot of people did too. Claire actually said it was her busiest ever day. So I'm glad to see that people supported her and the business is still going and, you know, she's still doing well. And the journalists have just shown their hand once again. Just disgusting people, vile, disgusting people. And yeah, we just need to keep supporting each other.
We certainly do. So let's do the regional roundups. Now, I'm not sure what order you want to do these in because most groups have just put in a graphic, but one has done a wonderful little video. So do we want to start with the video or end with the video? And then we'll do the questions and answers afterwards.
Well, let's start with it because it's Eastern. So it would be
OK.
Anyway,
well, we're going to start with a video from Eastern region. These guys always raise the bar, but I'm really looking forward to having a video one so I don't have to read it. And here we go. Well, that was really, really wonderful. Sorry I ended it earlier. I thought it was coming to an end and it's got the contact details at the end. They've really raised the bar with that. I thought that was fantastic. Everyone else has just submitted graphics as per usual, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I'll start with reading the first, and it is the East Midlands. Patriotic Alternative, East Midlands, March 2023, and there's a picture of their wonderful leaflets about the forthcoming protest in Long Eaton. It says, this month, PA East Midlands has been focusing on our Long Eaton campaign. Long Eaton has two hotels, Novotel and Best Western, hosting 400 migrants. We've been out and about delivering leaflets, five-star hotels for migrants while Brits freeze in the lead-up to the design and printing of a specially made leaflet advertising the upcoming Long Eaton protest.
Long Eaton says no is on Sunday, the 23rd of April, which is this St. George's Day. Bring your flags and make your way down to Long Eaton Junction 25 off the M1. This demonstration is set to be a big one as grassroots support is already strong after incidents of migrants harassing local children. Head down to Long Eaton Marketplace, NG10 1JL for 11 a.m. this St. George's Day and join us in supporting the locals. So we will be reminding everybody of that event in the coming months via our newsletter. If you're not signed up on the website, make sure you are. This is the Northeast. One for you, Laura.
So, peer activists were out leafleting the town of Reckington, bringing awareness to our demographic replacement. Finished the day by visiting the fortress on White Hills and enjoyed the views afforded to them of the Northeast landscape. They also went to Gateshead, and they believe in a clean and well-looked-after countryside, so they cleaned up the local area there with the Angel of the North in the background. And they also went out collecting litter and were even approached by residents who thanked them for their efforts. Well done, Pierre Northeast. And that's also with the two people who run the region having a newborn baby. They're still getting out there and doing stuff, which is absolutely fantastic.
That is wonderful. Scotland, Aberdeen gets the message. Activists delivered over 600 leaflets, met new members and shared a meal, furthering the community building that goes on a daily basis in PA Scotland. Chris Donald anniversary. Chris was a young man who was tortured and murdered in a racially motivated attack by five Asian men. While Chris may be gone, his memory reminds us of why we fight. You will not be forgotten. Erskine Eternal, the campaign against the migrant hotels continues with loads of local support and a dwindling communist contingent, the one-man protest we saw earlier. They just haven't got the staying power, folks. Even Keel, even better. Activist and musician Even Keel blesses us with his fantastic new song, No One's Coming to Save You. He sings about the need for everyone to join the struggle in whatever way you can, and it slaps, no cap. I don't know what that says. FR.
Sam made that graphic and he was like, please get Mark to read out Scotland because I wrote no cap for I think, I don't know how you say it.
I don't even know what that means. So I've obviously messed that up. The joke is on me.
So we don't know how to say it.
It's like an early April Fool's Day gag. Yes, I'll be having words with your husband later.
Oh, does it mean for real? I think it means for real, doesn't it, FR?
I don't know. I don't know.
So the southeast. So six of our activists met up at Farlington Marsh near Portsmouth, which is well known for being a home for several highly endangered species of birds. Put on some of our new litter picking equipment and. Sorry, I don't know why I tried to shorten that. I've made it harder for myself. We put some of our new litter picking equipment into action and set about clearing away the huge amounts of rubbish which were posing a threat to the local wildlife. During the litter pick, several locals stopped to thank us for our work, and we ended the day in a local pub just as the weather started to take a turn for the worst. Absolutely fantastic work. Also, activists from the southeast delivered 260 leaflets in Hailsham, East Sussex, and had a late lunch in a local pub. It's a town which is split in two by the path, meaning out where an old railway used to be before it was torn up after the Beeching Report in the 1960s. Well done, Pierre Southeast.
This is from the Northwest. This is the busiest graphic I think I've ever seen. 4th of March, Blackpool activists met for a bowling competition and a social event. The 5th of March, Bootle, Northwest activists held a banner drop at Bootle Town Hall in response to news of an Asian male seen filming local children at a local Bootle school. The 6th of March, Manchester, PA Greater Manchester met to discuss plans to highlight the grooming gang issues in the county, followed by a banner drop at Manchester Town Hall. 7th of March, Southport, activists met to litter pick a woodland in Southport, collecting two bags worth. 9th of March, Warrington, PA Cheshire met for a social event and a few games of snooker. 11th of March, Rivington, activists hiked to Winter Hill via Rivington Pike, finishing with a well-deserved lunch. The 15th of March, Stockport, activists delivered 200 minority by 2066 leaflets in Offerton in the rain, followed by a well-deserved pint and a pub lunch. 17th of March, Liverpool, PA Merseyside handed out food parcels to the homeless in Liverpool. 19th of March, Manchester, Burnley, Southport, activists posted 180 leaflets in Manchester. Activists in Burnley and Southport did litter picks and gave out leaflets to locals. 21st of March, Stockport, activists delivered 600 minority by 2066 leaflets in the pouring rain in Edgeley, followed by a drink in a local pub. The 22nd of March, Haydock activists returned to the Ibis Hotel protesting the housing of illegal migrants in Haydock, followed by another banner drop at Helen's Town Hall. 25th of March, activists delivered 750 leaflets in Hale with the banner drops at Ashley Hotel and Britannia Hotels HQ. 26th of March, Southport, activists had a stall at Southport, gave leaflets out and chatted with locals about demographics. 28th of March, Manchester, activists gave out clothes, food and drink to some of the 7,000 homeless people on the streets of Manchester, forgotten about by our government. And finally, additional news, Northwest James Costello won St. Harrison's story competition with Jimbo the Jolly Troll, and Northwest posted a blog, Haydock has had enough. Wow. I tell you what, the Northwest are rapidly becoming the region to watch. I was talking about Eastern region being the ones to watch earlier, but it seems that they are being eclipsed. You've got Wales, Laura.
Ah, oh. Here we go. PA Wales held a successful demo in Llantwit to protest the construction of migrant accommodation. They also delivered 250 Love Your Country leaflets in Wrexham. They delivered 400 leaflets in St. Athan, the neighbouring village, to Llantwit Major. They tested their new laser, Watch This Space. Ooh. And they attended a cultural activity at Wales National Coal Mining Museum, which was originally a working mine. They delivered another set of leaflets in Llantwit Major ahead of our demonstration. So that one was before the demo. And PA Wales dad and daughter cleared up a local beauty spot of rubbish. Oh, that's lovely. Well done, PA Wales.
Fantastic, fantastic month in Wales. And here we have the West Midlands. To prep for our demo in Cannock, activists handed out over 4,000 leaflets to locals. Absolutely amazing. After months of planning, we held a demo in front of over 600 cheering Cannock residents to protest the continued use of hotels to house illegal migrants. Cannock says no. To cap off the month, an activist from the Staffordshire branch set out to tidy up his local area and collect 5 bags of rubbish. Amazing work. And here is the Southwest.
So some activists from the Southwest attended the Cannock demonstration. They also, keeping active, visited their local climbing centre for a refreshing change to the usual hike. The bouldering session pushed our activists to their limits. Staying physically active and able is essential to nationalism. We have a moral duty to stay fit and healthy so that when we stand as representatives of our people, we can do so with the pride and dignity that benefits a European nation. They did a homeless outreach in Exeter to deliver food packages to the homeless of the city. The homeless people were all grateful for the food and water they received, but all of them most appreciated that they stopped and spoke with them and had taken the time out of our day to help them. They also went to a museum on the 19th in Taunton to have a day of cultural activity set in the Museum of Somerset. Although overshadowed by some of its more famous neighbouring counties, Somerset is rich in culture and history. Learning about the country's Romano-Celtic, Anglo-Saxon and then early modern period. Okay. Somerset has seen a lot of turbulence and contributed its fair share to our nation's collective history. Environmental cleanup. They also did a few activities taking care of their local environment by collecting litter from parks and city streets. We live in the most beautiful country in the world, and in the Southwest, we live in the most beautiful part of the most beautiful country. Ooh, I'm not sure about that bit. It's up to us as nationalists to keep it that way. Well done, Southwest.
Indeed, and I think this is the last one, Yorkshire. Leaflet abounds. Activists in East, North and South Yorkshire out throughout the month, spreading the message of demographic change. Cannock, hold me back. Activists and speakers from Yorkshire joined the Midlands powerhouse for our largest demonstration to date. Home Office horrors. Wakefield Cedar Court Hotel has recently been acquired by the Home Office as a migrant accommodation. Activists leafleted the local area to positive responses from residents and banner dropped the hotel itself. Scaffold success. Thanks to a generous donor, we've been able to acquire our own scaffold. We even have enough left over for beautification purposes. We'll be able to share this resource with other northern regions too. Our third annual Easter family event is coming up on 8th of the 8th. Picnic games and egg hunt for the kids. Get in touch if you'd like to join us. And that is it. So that is the end of the roundup for this month. So what an incredible month. And it's time to do the questions. Are you ready to answer the questions, Laura?
Yes, it's always such a busy month, even though we have like a big focus on certain things. At the moment, it's obviously the protests. That's like the big thing that PA's doing. There's just so much other activity going on across the country, whether it's litter picks or homeless outreach or leafleting or family events or cultural events. Even Hope Not Hate in their State of Hate report this year said that on the far right, nobody comes close to the level of activism that Patriotic Alternative do. And it's true, you know, just... I mean, kind of going off on a tangent here, but one of the beautiful things about Patriotic Alternative is that me and Mark don't need to be everywhere. So we can have events in Wales or Scotland or the Southwest or Yorkshire without me and Mark being there, because we have a good structure. And those guys can hold events, and that means that so much can be going on across the whole country every single week. And I'm so glad that we built the organisation like that. Do you agree, Mark?
Well, that's the whole point of the organisation. The point of the organisation is that fundamentally we wanted to create something that empowered people all over the UK to do something fantastic. So instead of it just being a travelling circus where two leaders went around and nothing happened if they weren't there, we wanted activities taking place simultaneously all over the country. And what we'd like to have eventually is to say, look, we can't keep... I mean, eventually, I don't want to do those monthly roundups, because I want there to be so much activity in every region that, you know, you've got a Leeds branch, you've got a Wakefield branch, you've got a Hull branch, you've got a York branch, you know, you've got a Grimsby branch, and there's just so much happening that we couldn't do that. That's where we want to get to. We want to get to the point where, you know, there's so much to fit on those graphics that we just say, well, we can't read them out anymore. That's how busy we want it to be. And we want all these groups operating independently so that it empowers local people to get active in politics. So let's do these questions. The first one is from Raw Steak Enjoyer, who gave £15. Thank you so much. She said, love the work you guys have been doing. Since PA has been very successful at doing demos, I've noticed that there's quite a lot of smaller ones that don't seem very effective. What are your thoughts on that? Well, firstly, thank you for the donation, and thank you for the kind words about what we've been doing. And yeah, this is a difficult one to address, because I don't really want to say negative stuff about other groups or other people. And I understand that people want to hold, you know, their own demonstrations, and some people will have been inspired by the successes of our demonstrations. But I have been a little bit concerned about people calling these micro demonstrations, where there's sort of 12 people present, or, you know, 20 people present in a place where a month ago there was 200 people demonstrating there. And I don't think that's a good look. You know, we have a policy that when we do a big demonstration, we pull out all the stops. If we can't get those numbers, if we can get, you know, maybe just 10 people, then we do a different style of demonstration. We do a flash demo where we just turn up, say we've got to say and leave, or if there's just a handful of people, we do a banner drop, but we don't call it as a major demo. And I think what's going wrong with some of these smaller demonstrations that are being called is you're having multiple demos in some cases being called either weekends that are back to back, and sometimes you're even having these demos on the same day, so activists don't know where to go. Now I'm going to give you a bit of an analogy here. You know, if you've got a big company, think of you know what we're doing, like a big company. So, you know, everyone knows I like Nintendo. Well, you know, if Nintendo release a Legend of Zelda game, they don't the week after release a Mario game, and then the week after that release Mario Kart, because they're three of their biggest releases. And if they release them three weekends in a row, all you'd end up doing is reducing your sales, because they're tentpole releases. People don't have the money to buy a game every week, and they don't have the time to play a new game every week. So they don't do it. They'll release them months and months apart, sometimes years apart, to ensure that those tentpole releases get the breathing room they need. And I think our demonstrations need to be more like that. They need to be managed in the same way that a company would manage its big releases. So when we call a demonstration, there needs to be maybe one big, massive national demo every month. Calling a demonstration every week is a bad idea, because firstly, people don't have the money
to attend a demonstration every week. You know, you end up with activists saying, well, I have to pick one, which means each one of the demonstrations is smaller because activists will pick different ones. And secondly, you want to give each demonstration both the time it needs to build up hype. So with demonstrations like Cannock, with demonstrations like Skegness, we built hype for that. We were sending out emails to tens of thousands of people saying, build the hype, come, it's going to happen. And then when you've done it and it's been a success, you want to give a good week or so for people to find out about what happened, for the publicity from that event to seep out, because the mainstream media covers it. We make content, we release the speeches, you release the video footage, which takes a while to put together, and then that builds hype for the next event. If you were trying to sort of bookend Cannock with a demonstration the week before and a demonstration the week afterwards, it would not only hurt the numbers there, but you wouldn't have time to really get the message out about what happened in Cannock. So then you end up with these tiny demonstrations, which just don't seem to, attract the numbers they need. And we don't want that. We don't want that. Now, I'll tell you something else as well with these demonstrations. They all have to be tied to something locally. That's how you get local support. Look at the big demos. Leeds, 100 people. Look at Hull, 200 people. Skegness, 400. Cannock, 500. Yet Lantwit was smaller. There were local people there, plenty of them. Some of them were actually intimidated by the left-wing mob and just wouldn't, watched from afar and were nervous to come over and stand with us. But Lantwit only has a population of 5,300 people. So we weren't expecting 200 people there like we got in Hull, or 100 people like we got in, Seacroft in Leeds. We weren't expecting the 500 we got in Cannock. It's a much smaller area and it's harder to get to. But the fact of the matter is, all those events were tied to real local issues. You can't just say, right, we're holding a rally this weekend, Central Manchester. Why are we doing it? We love our flag. Love the flag rally, Central Manchester. That isn't going to motivate people. When we do something like this, we need to work with the locals like we did in Cannock. We need to go out and leaflet and prepare the area for the demo. Again, the Cannock lads put out 4,000 leaflets beforehand. You advertise what you're going to do. You build hype for it. Then you pull it off and it's magnificent. If, on the other hand, you're just saying, right, love the flag, rally, Manchester, next weekend, weekend after, Newcastle, love the flag again, yay, woo, or love St. George, that's not going to fire up normal people. Normal people came to the first demonstration in Hull because that was a response to a planned migrant centre. They didn't come to the second protest in Hull because it was just a protest. The migrant centre was defeated. It was done. The big protest has happened. So the first protest that took place in Hull, 200 people. The second, it looked like there was about 20 people there. Now, I'm not saying those 20 people are bad people. They're people who obviously went there because they're passionate about this cause. But it is effort that was for naught. And what's more, when you plan these events, you have to plan them carefully. And I'm going to throw this to Joe Marsh, because that guy is a master at planning these things. When Joe turns up, he will stand there from sort of 8:30 in the morning, guarding the bandstand or guarding the central part of a town to make sure we get the right place. We always liaise with the police. So we say to the police, we want to stand here. We're going to be here from this time until that time. Again, that means we get the place we wanted, because we've liaised with the police and they will make sure that there are different areas cordoned off for different people. And because we called the demo, we get to choose which area we want. I've seen some of these demonstrations where the left have got the pride of place in the town centre, and maybe a dozen, two dozen nationalists have stood to the side of them in a tiny little cordon because they never liaised with the police liaison team beforehand. All of these things make the demos look worse. And if you have poor demos, if you have poor numbers, if you've got a dozen people at one of these sort of like impromptu every week demos, the public aren't going to join them. And it's going to put people off attending in the future. the amount of people that emailed the PA website and said, wow, Cannock was brilliant. We need to know when your next one is. We wish we'd come and we want to come to the next. But no one gets fired up. Over a dozen people, you know, in a major town centre, 2 weeks after a big rally, trying to, you know, relive that, but with fewer numbers. It's very important that we do things correctly. And people might say, look, Mark, you're being very harsh. I'm not. This has all played out before. The National Front did this in the noughties. Back in the noughties, the National Front arranged a march in Margate. Now, Margate at the time was the Dover of its day. Everything to do with migration seemed to be happening in Margate. So the National Front said, right, we're marching in Margate. And they went to Margate. And the people of Margate turned out en masse. And there was hundreds of people on this National Front march. And all of a sudden, the media were talking about the National Front for once, not the BNP. And it was an amazing day. There was flags, normal people. The Reds just disappeared because there just wasn't enough Reds to stand against that many local people who were all up in arms about what was going on. And the National Front had a great chance to rejuvenate themselves and to get some goodwill by doing that. But then they just called random marches and protests elsewhere in the country. And then they were just stood there with no one turning up, no one joining them. They burnt out the goodwill. They went to places where there were no local issues and they arranged too many protests so people couldn't travel to them. And it burnt itself out. So I've got to say, whilst I absolutely applaud anybody who's willing to go out and demonstrate, if you are going to get 12 people, just do a flash demo or do a banner drop. Don't make it a big thing. Don't produce graphics and say, right, everyone to this random place, you know, for because we love the flag. It's not going to work. And all you're going to do is damage the protest movement. These things need to be done carefully. And people might say, well, not everyone wants to come and stand with PA, but every nationalist group that has come to a PA demo, Laura will attest to this, we have gone up to them, we've shaken hands with them, and we've welcomed them, haven't we, Laura? We've never turned any group away.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, if you're just a local person and something's happening in your area and you want to get out and protest against that, that's fantastic. But at the moment, that is happening a little bit, but it's more kind of like nationalists being the vanguard and leading people. I think people need to see other people standing up and doing it. Maybe before they're ready to do it, they need the experience of somebody who's got the experience to help with organisation and that kind of things. So what I would worry about is with these graphics flying about the internet everywhere is that it's just overwhelming people, and people are looking and thinking, all right, there's 10 protests here, I don't know which one to go to, and it's maybe spreading people a little bit too thin. And then when the demonstrations aren't successful, people look at them, the public, and they're just like, that's not really something that I wanted to go to. And what we've done at Patriotic Alternative instead is focus on one location and put a lot of effort into that location. Like Mark said, Cannock, we worked with the local people to help build up their confidence, found out what kind of protest they wanted, gave them time to work on their speeches and supported them with that kind of stuff, leafleted the area beforehand, 4,000 leaflets, built up a lot of hype for it online, and then that protest was a massive, massive success. But if all we'd done is put out graphics for 10 different locations, it would have failed, Patriotic Alternative or not. So I would just worry about, you know, overwhelming people by trying to run before we can walk. And I hope at the future we can have a demonstration in every town and city on the same weekend, and so many local people will come out that they'll all be a massive success. But we're not quite there yet. Like I said, nationalists are still the vanguard, and we are still the ones who are stepping up and leading by example. So we don't want to kill the movement by trying to do too much. And I think we need to be very aware of the image that we portray, and we want those fantastic, you know, pictures of the crowd being there looking massive. We don't just want, you know, a couple of people shouting. It doesn't look great, to be honest.
And one final thing I've got to say is I'm not saying to people, don't do activism. I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying work smart. You've just seen a presentation of graphics from 10 regions in the UK, some of which were out multiple times every weekend with smaller groups of people, smaller banner drops, leafleting sessions, social events, litter picks, help the homeless events. All of those things can be done, and they're all so very important. Not every piece of activism has to be that tentpole release. Not every piece of activism has to be the piece of activism where you swing for the fences and knock it out the park. Any organization or any movement has to have those giant central tentpole events and tentpole demonstrations, but they have to be surrounded by smaller activist events, which, you know, the sum total of which is much greater when all added together. And that's what you see with PA. So you'll see a massive event like CANUC, but based around CANUC, you will see dozens of little events all over the UK. And I suggest to people who want to be active that you look at strategy and you work towards things like that. And we're happy to work with other people. As I said earlier, we're not some exclusive group that turn people away. You have seen me shaking hands with other nationalist leaders, with nationalists from other groups.
People who we're supposed to hate, and they're supposed to hate us. Yeah. Everyone's just being mature and coming to the demos because the issue is more important.
Yeah, well, look, you know, when it came down to it, a guy called Anglo Joe that people may know, people may not know, turned up at the CANUC protest. And, you know, me and him shook hands. We hadn't met before. They came and supported us. We welcome them to, you know, at the event. There's no bad blood. So people can work with us. People can come to us and we can make the events much bigger and much, much better working like that. You know, work smart, guys. That's the way to win.
And also remember that if we're there, the press will turn up, which is exactly a benefit that we have as well.
And that's the other thing. That's the other thing. When it comes down to it, when you hold these events, you want the press there. Our event in Llantwit, we might have only had, you know, 30, 40 people there. You know, the locals might have been put off a little by the mobs of Reds that turned up in their face mask and, you know, ISIS style outfits. But it made national news. And do you know what the picture was they used on the national news? It was a slightly older patriotic alternative gentleman holding a sign that read, "House Britons, not the world." Well, the message, "House Britons, not the world," probably resonates with the vast majority of Indigenous Britons on this issue. So that one placard, that one smiling, slightly older gentleman holding that, you know, "How's the British, not the world" sign, sent a message to millions of people. And that's why we have to think strategy. Bill Biz gave $30. Thank you so much, my friend. He said, "Great to see PA's activism influencing normal folks on the most important issues of our time." Thank you very much. Stan Wong gave $25. And he said, "The tide is changing. Another awesome month." The Mad Hatter gave £10 and said, "Donation." Thank you very much. Serena JB gave £5. Thank you so much, my dear. And she said, "The more we can normalize our so-called heretical ideas, the more comfortable people will feel thinking and talking about them. Great work from all of you." And that's another thing. Just to go back to what we were saying, Serena makes such an important point. If you hear about a demonstration and you turn up at that demonstration and there's 400 or 500 people there, you feel comfortable. You feel like you want to be a part of it. You feel like you're doing the right thing. You feel as if you should be there. You feel part of a group. If your first demonstration is one of these, you know, tiny, poorly organized events, no loudspeaker, you know, no PA system, no big banners, you know, not even a megaphone. It's just sort of half a dozen to a dozen people, you know, shouting stuff. If you've turned up to that and it's your first demo, you're going to be disappointed. You might just walk on by and not join it. You've got to remember, we are pulling the Overton window in our direction. But every demonstration is someone's first. And you want to give a positive impression of our group to whichever people are the newcomers at that event. What do you think of that, Laura? You know, it is a big thing, isn't it? When it's your first event and you've plucked up courage, you want to be at something that's successful.
Yeah, you just want to see normal people stood around And you want to hear people talking about issues that you can relate to, as opposed to really sort of in-depth ideology kind of things. You don't want people to be giving a speech about, I don't know, the difference between Spengler and Heidegger or something. You just want people talking about issues that they can relate to, so that you can relate to them and feel at home in the demonstration. So yeah, that's what we always try and do. And as you saw on the graphics earlier, the next big one is in the East Midlands, Long Eaton. So that will be one that our guys over in that area are putting a lot of effort into this month.
Exactly. And it's going to be a good one. VM gave $3. Thank you so much. Said incredible work from PA. Worth ensuring every demo has one or two on the ground live streamers recording speeches, incidents and interviews to clown on journos attempting to spread lies. Great work. I agree with that. Thank you. Lawrence of Somerset gave £10. Thank you so much. Said chipping in because you do so much for this movement. Non-political question. What's your favourite real-time strategy game? Well, if you've been keeping up with my streams, my friend, you'll already know it's Command & Conquer. I absolutely love that game. That and Red Alert, I've got them both, the remastered versions. And if anyone wants to be my super friend when Mrs. Mark is not around, you're always welcome to join me for a little bit of Command & Conquer. Aunt Sally gave £5. Thank you so much. I'm so proud of what PA activists are achieving and with such decorum. Thank you so much. Dusty gave $5. Thank you very much. And said, I don't get many chances to catch you live. Love your work. Thanks, guys. Well, thank you very much. Rory Herbert gave £3. Thank you very much. She said, UKIP's membership fee is £30 per year, but they reduce it to £10 for members and or veterans of the armed forces. I'm not sure how they check this, but would PA consider offering something similar? I don't want to do that, so I don't think we will be doing that. And I'll explain why. There are lots of concessions you can make to different people. And I think offering a concession based on somebody's military service sort of places that service above all else somebody can do. And I'd be uncomfortable doing that. Well, what about firefighters? You know, they put their lives at risk, saving people from, you know, fires and other disasters. What about nurses? You know, there are many nurses who work very, very long shifts for very low wages, and they save people's lives. And some of the nurses have to put up with horrible abuse, poor working conditions, and the government consistently ensuring that their wages don't rise with inflation. So I would feel if we offered concessions to some people, we might have to offer concessions to others. You know, there's always the thing of, do you offer students concessions? Do you offer people concessions because they're pensioners? And I wouldn't like to place somebody on a pedestal simply because of, you know, their job choice, as I feel that would sort of maybe say that we felt those people were more special than others. And I think there's many people in today's society who do choose to make sacrifices by picking careers that help other people. You know, what about, you know, if you're really going to start talking about concessions, what about people who spend their time working with the elderly or the disabled or working with small children with learning difficulties? All of those are very challenging and often thankless jobs, but they are jobs that are so very important. And the fact people do those jobs, sometimes for minimum wage and sometimes just as volunteers, you know, those people are absolutely wonderful. So, you know, if I was going to start offering concessions, I think I'd have to do it to so many different groups. And then we've got to check that those people really are, you know, who they claim to be. What do you think about that, Laura?
I've never really thought about it. I guess I don't feel strongly about it, but what you said makes sense.
Well, I'm pleased. I'm pleased that at least one woman today agrees with my sentiments.
Are you pleased that I agree with you on one issue? Everything else today.
yes. Bit of tension between me and Laura today. Beer Hall Pooch gave $14.88. Thank you so much. Said, hail Mark, hail the cause. Serious question. Who taught you your nationalism? The folk demand to know. As you know, for me, it was the National Front's third position in positionism. Cards on the table. Please reciprocate and don't dismiss this with, I read, where's Mrs. Bear? There is more to this than that. Thank you. Where did I learn my nationalism? I think I've explained this on many streams. I don't think I was really sort of taught nationalism. Obviously, over the period of my time in nationalism, I've never stopped learning. I've never stopped devouring information. I've never stopped listening to documentaries and new ideas and podcasts. So there'd be too many sources to actually list. But who taught me nationalism? I don't think anyone taught me nationalism. It was just something I always felt inside me. And I credit that to my parents, to where I grew up, to the, you know, the environment, the city that I was close to. But it wasn't something anyone sat down and taught me. I've always felt an affinity to my own people. And I've always observed the fact that every other racial group feels an affinity and has in-group preference. And I've always felt it an injustice that we don't. And it's something that's grown and grown throughout my life. But to say one person or one group or one thing taught me nationalism, it certainly didn't. I've always felt nationalism to be something that was in my heart and in my gut, almost like there's certain things you just develop. You develop desires, you develop passions, you develop, you know, an interest in certain things. And it's not because anyone pushed me to it or anyone taught me it. I don't know, it's just always been in my heart. So sorry, I can't give you a more comprehensive answer than that, but I felt this way since I was at school and no one taught me it. And if you want to know my sort of personal philosophies on things, you know, my book is a good place to start. And many of the things that I wrote about in my book aren't things that I was taught, but you can see they're actual observations that I have made from being around people, from viewing the way human beings operate and looking at the world and the way that we're being manipulated. So I'd say largely life taught me it. So thank you. Red Pill Rundown gave 4 Odyssey tokens. He said, excellent work as always. Thank you so much. Socko said, PA headed into spring with a full head of steam. You love to see it. Well, thank you so much, Socko. British Gammon gave $20. Thank you so much. He said, hilarious seeing PA Scotland mercilessly taunting the lefties. I almost feel sorry for them. Almost. Cryptic Pickle said, who is the most effective region at the moment? Well, I can't really say that. And Laura, would you like to say it? I mean, I think they're all doing amazing work. But if I was to look at sheer number of different events this month, the Northwest have knocked it out of the park this month. What would you say?
What was the question, Sarah?
Who is the most effective region at the moment?
Oh, it's really difficult because they've all got the strengths and then the stuff that they don't really do. I mean, at homeless outreach, the strongest region I would say is the Northeast. At protests, it used to be Yorkshire, but who is it now? It could be anyone. I would say for quantity, it probably is the Northwest at the moment. They're probably doing the most activities. I want to mention every region for something. Everyone's got stuff that they really shine at, so it's impossible to say.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't like to pick out anyone for particular praise because everyone's doing so well. And sometimes you can have a region work, you know, tirelessly with lots of little events like the Northwest and another region like the West Mids that put everything into pulling off Cannock, and you could see they were doing that week in, week out. So yeah, great work from everybody. And you know, you guys are just knocking it out of the park. Max Anderson won. He gave $5. Thank you so much. He said PA is the only game in town. Thank you so much. Reed Johnson said, gave $5, said the Red Squirrel is an excellent idea and the concept for the membership card. Very unique and very sharp. Well done to the team. Thank you so much. And RMA said, Cannock was brilliant. Everyone needs to go to a PA demo. Well, thank you so much. And we've got some non-paid questions. Remember, we always answer non-paid questions on this stream. People usually ask funny things, and sometimes they say things that are going to make me and Laura argue. VM said, you heard about the situation at RAF Scrampton, and will PA have any plans for assisting the pushback there? We would love to be working there. I can't announce exactly what we're going to be up to, but we obviously think that it's despicable what they're doing. So yeah, we will be working with local people if we can. Stop Abusing Morphine said, hi, Mark. What do you think of so-called nationalists working with police informants to attack genuine nationalists? yeah, I've got to say, from my perspective, nationalists will always have differences with other nationalists. There will always be differences when it comes to tactics. There will always be differences when it comes to optics. There will always be differences when it comes to the way that we choose to organize. But one thing that basically counts somebody out to me is if they're working with either the security services, the police, or groups like Hope Not Hate. If you collaborate with the enemy in any way, if you're talking to the enemy, if you're feeding them information, if you're being paid by them, then at that point you are irredeemable. I've fallen out with many people in my life over issues of tactics, over issues of the way we present ourselves. I've made friends with those people again. I've shaken hands with them. That is normal. You know, there are people out there that I have had, you know, shouting matches with on the phone over different issues, which we've both been passionate about. But at the end of the day, we were still two nationalists. And the reason we were both passionate is because we both were equally desiring a positive outcome for the cause. So we were fighting our corner because we believed we were doing the right thing and pushing the movement forward in the right way. However, if somebody was to go to the enemy, as some people undoubtedly have, and some people, you know, in certain Telegram groups boast about, and, you know, they talk about the openly talk about the fact that they have spoken with people from Hope Not Hate, or have spoken with people, you know, in the media, then, or the police, well, unfortunately, those people are irredeemable as far as I'm concerned. And I will not work with anybody who is doing something like that. And I can assure you, anyone doing anything like that would not be welcome in Patriotic Alternative. It's as simple as that. Do you have anything to add, Laura?
Yeah. People who work with the journalists and Hope Not Hate and the state and the system, any part of the system, are absolute scum. And anybody who knows people who do this and then continue to work with those people who are doxers and informants are also not to be trusted. So if somebody doxes someone or passes information to Hope Not Hate or counterterrorism or the state or anything like that, then you don't trust them. But then when people know that people do that and then continue to work with them, to me, that's just as bad, because you're validating those people to your audience and putting your audience at risk. So I don't know where I came from on the estate that I grew up on. It was like if you were a grass, you were basically at the bottom of the food chain and everyone absolutely hated you and there was no redemption for grasses. So yeah, I mean, I don't think many people do it, but there are a few people that I can think of, and they're just scum, aren't they?
They certainly are. And I've got to say this, when I was a child at school, if you went running to the teacher and started telling tales on other people, the teacher would actually scold you. The teacher would actually say, don't be a tattletale. No one likes a snitch. Teachers would send children away and scold them for being snitches. You know, it was part of British society that you didn't act that way. It was seen dishonorable. You were seen as being dishonorable, and it was seen as a mark of dishonor to behave like that. You know, today, the fact that some people think they can operate in this movement after behaving like that, is just unbelievable. And those assisting are just as bad. Rory Herbert said, I couldn't help but notice Laura's dining table in the background. Does Catherine sit on the left or the right? No pun intended, of course.
I think you can see the bottom of her high chair in the left of the screen. Yeah, she's a lefty.
We have a chat here from NC Pigeon. He said, did you know Robert Jenrick, the immigration minister, is married to an Israeli Jew? Well, I'll make no comment on that. I didn't, but surprised I am not. And finally, we have one last question. It's from NC Pigeon. He said, did you know that the actor Henry Cavill is a huge Warhammer 40K fan? Absolutely brilliant. I did. I'm a huge Warhammer 40k fan, but I'm never ever building an army again. It is too expensive and too time consuming. The Grey Wanderer gave £5. Thank you so much, my friend. He said, love the red squirrel motif for the membership card. Well, thank you so much. I'm pleased we've had such an overwhelmingly positive response to the red squirrel tonight. And I really, really hope people will like to see that when we roll it out fully and when it appears on other publicity material as well. So that's the end of the questions, Laura. Is there anything else you'd like to raise tonight?
I guess we can mention it because there's newspaper articles coming out now about Sven. Do you want to just talk briefly about that? Yeah. Well, there's BBC articles which are coming out now about Sven Longshanks, who has obviously been on trial for, I believe it was 15 counts of stirring up racial hatred. And he's been found, today he's been found not guilty of 5 counts and guilty of 10 counts. Oh, there's a daddy and a baby in the background. get out of the way. Unfortunately, he's been found guilty of 10 counts. And I think a lot of it was stuff to do with using words that are maybe words that you could use in the past, but you can't use today on his podcast. Time changes and the words that we're allowed to use change. Unfortunately he's been found guilty of that. So he's been sentenced at the end of the month. There's not really anything else to say about it. You can check out the BBC articles.
I've got something to say.
Go on.
I gotta say this, I don't hold speech crimes as actual real crimes. In my eyes, Sven Longshanks is not a criminal. He's a good man. He's a good friend of ours. He said things on podcasts 6 years ago, which I'm sure he wouldn't say today. He used words which may be seen as outdated. And by some, obviously, they see them as racist. But I don't believe that words should be crimes. He wasn't inciting anyone. He wasn't calling for any kind of violence. And I think this is a scandal. I think this is an abuse of political power. The police themselves admitted that the speeches he made did not lead to any rise in hate crimes, did not lead to any rise in any form of illegal activity. They admitted that. And, you know, Sven is a disabled man. If they throw him in prison, they are utter, utter scum. I can tell you this now. There have been Muslim men who have abused girls, who have committed sexual offences, who have been given, who have walked free from court. There have been men who have had hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions, of indecent photos of children on their computer, members of the Labour Party. They've walked free from court. And the way that Sven has been portrayed by the media is if he's a demon. He said words. He said words to people who consented to listen to him because they were tuning into his radio show to hear that kind of discussion. He wasn't out in the streets screaming at people. And I can tell you this as well. This is how scandalous this prosecution is or was. Not a single member of any ethnic minority group complained about those podcasts. Not a single member. The complaint was made via an MP who had had the information given to him by Hope Not Hate. This was nothing to do with anyone actually being offended. No one was offended. It's an absolute joke. Sven did a great job defending himself. He got found guilty on 10 counts, but 5 he got found not guilty on. And the 10 counts he did get found guilty on, he wasn't found unanimously guilty. There was at least one member of the jury who said, no, he's not guilty. Which tells you everything you need to know. Again, the criminal justice system is now being geared up to persecute people who say words. And I'm not going to be apologizing on his behalf. I don't think he's got anything to apologize for. Any free British man or woman should be allowed to speak their mind. You know, it's a scandal. You know, I'm behind him all the way. And if people think this might affect PA, nothing he said was said when he was associated with Patriotic Alternative, and all of the charges predate his involvement with this organization. In fact, they all predate the organization itself, so it's nothing to do with Patriotic Alternative. But my heart and mind go out to him tonight. Sorry,
Mark, I thought you'd finished. I just wanted to say as well that Sven, I mean, like, he's an older guy, but he did make an effort to kind of change with the times. His show used to be called Radio Aryan, and there's nothing wrong with the word Aryan. We should be able to use that word, but he changed it to Radio Albion to make it a little bit more palatable for people who might have negative connotations with the word Aryan. So he did, you know, try, but obviously there was stuff that he said 6 or so years ago that would have not been acceptable today, and there weren't 6 years ago either. So we're not selling him out or anything. He's a nice guy. And the fact that Sven could be a danger to anyone, he's like the most sweet, gentle guy ever. It's ridiculous.
It's an absolute mockery. And, you know, the idea that a man is going to be sent to jail, a disabled man is going to be sent to jail for saying things on a podcast that not one single person reported to the police, not one single person. The MP just told the police to go through everything he'd done. There wasn't any actual complaints, no ethnic minority group, no individual from an ethnic minority group or any other, group with protected characteristics complained once about his podcasts. What a joke. British justice, a joke. And I am disgusted by it. But we do have one last thing to play you out with. We talked earlier about Clean and Pure, and we wanted to play you out tonight with a major win that we had over the media in Scotland. But before we do that, I'm going to let me and Laura say our good nights, and we'll play you out with one last clip of good news. Laura, do you want to say your good nights?
Yeah, Sam's tucking into my hot cross buns, which are for the picnic next weekend. just thanks for being here. Check out the Patriotic Alternative website. Come and play a part, be an activist, help us out if you're not already. In Yorkshire, we have an Easter egg hunt next weekend. It'll be a great first event if you've not been to anything before. Yorkshire@patrioticalternative.org.uk. And I'll be back on Monday with Sam for Tea Time with Sam and Laura. I think we're going to talk about nudity in art. There's been a bit of controversy about whether children should see nudity in art, like the Statue of David. I think we're going to talk about that topic. But yeah, I hope everyone has a nice weekend. Take care, everyone, and I'll see you on Monday.
Well, I want to just say thank you. Thank you to everyone tonight. Thank you to Laura. Thank you to all our guests. Thank you to everyone who donated so generously. And thank you to everyone who viewed the stream. This organization is all about community. And it is a bit of a shame to end on the sour note. My thoughts and prayers are with Sven Longshanks tonight and his family. I hope, you know, the community will rally round him and give him all the support he needs and deserves. And I want to say another huge thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight. I love you guys. I love you all. And we're going to play you out with one final piece of good news. But before we do, don't forget, Sunday night, 7 p.m, the Nationalist A-Team. Hopefully see you all there with myself, Sam Melia, Barclay Walsh, and the indomitable Patriot. It's one of our more light-hearted events, and I can tell you this, it will be a good one. And if it's not, I might get upset. Anyway, here we go. One last thing to play you out with. Good night. Have a great weekend. Hopefully see you on Sunday. Thank you and good night.
Good afternoon. This is the local news for Sky La Calche at just after 5:30 with Adam Gordon. A Sky couple, one of whom who runs a soap business on the island, have rebutted a national advocacy group's claim that they are involved in a fascist organisation. On Saturday, an article by the Herald newspaper revealed that Claire Ellis, who runs the Clean and Pure soap business on Sky, was a member of the Patriotic Alternative group along with her fiancé, Kenny Smith. Patriotic Alternative describes itself as an activism group and was founded in September 2019 by Mark Collett. Mark Collett was formerly chairman of the Young BNP, the youth division of the British National Party, and was director of publicity for the party. Patriotic Alternative has been accused as being the UK's most active fascist group by advocacy group Hope Not Hate. However, commenting to Radio Sky on Hope Not Hate's accusation and her and her fiancé's involvement with Patriotic Alternative, Claire Ellis said, "We challenge the word fascist. There is nothing in our doctrine that is fascist. We are nationalist or ethno-nationalist if you're looking for a term that accurately describes us." Within its plan for a healthy, successful and prosperous United Kingdom, as it terms on its website, Patriotic Alternative claims that Indigenous people of the UK will be a minority by 2060, and states that to counter this, anyone of immigrant descent who holds a British passport will be offered generous financial incentives in order to return back to what they term as their ancestral homelands. It also pledges to overturn what it describes as so-called hate speech laws immediately and free all those imprisoned under such legislation and have their criminal records expunged. The only exception to this would be for those who promote violence or terrorism. It goes on to add that it will promote what it deems as the traditional family, which it describes as consisting of mother, father and children, as an ideal to be striven for and emulated, and says that no public body will promote any alternative as either equal or superior to what it believes is the traditional family. Claire Ellis and Kenny Smith have said the assignation of fascist to the people involved in Patriotic Alternative and the organisation is a smear, as they categorically reject that ideology. The following clip is taken from the 2022 Patriotic Alternative Spring Conference, in which Kenny Smith, a former BNP member who originally hails from the Western Isles, talks about tolerance and discrimination.
Whenever you choose one thing over another, you discriminate. Another dirty word, isn't it? Our enemies say we must not discriminate, and they attempt to take away our right to choose. They try to criminalise our right to choose by preventing us from discriminating in favour of our own people and culture. We naturally want to preserve our own race and way of life. And to do that, we must discriminate against other races and cultures. Or in other words, choose to put first our own race and culture. There is nothing wrong with discriminating. In fact, like intolerance, when you examine it, it's a healthy survival instinct. I discriminate in favour of my own race every day.
That was Kenny Smith from Patriotic Alternative, taken from his 2022 Spring Conference address. Claire Ellis and Kenny Smith told Radio Sky they were immensely proud to volunteer their efforts with Patriotic Alternative, who they said do amazing work raising awareness of demographic change in Britain. They said the group were not fascist, but rather they advocated for the Indigenous people of these islands. David Lawrence, a senior researcher at Hope Not Hate, gave this assessment of the group's mode of operating. He said Patriotic Alternative remains small with an active membership in the low hundreds and is desperate for relevance. He said as a result, it downplays its extremism when dealing with the public and tries to co-opt existing local concerns as their own. He went on to say, because PA is highly active and relatively well organised, there is a risk it may succeed in inflaming local tensions, growing its brand in the process. On Tuesday during the 5pm news, Radio Sky mistakenly stated that Miss Ellis and Mr Smith had not responded to questions about the involvement with the group when they had in fact. The station has since apologised for this accidental oversight in its original report.